forever. Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination.
Every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What is yours?
I'm Willem.
And wait, I heard some other dulcet, angelic Australian accent.
Is there a bilby in the building?
Why? G'day, cunts. It's Courtney Act.
Wow. Yes.
Yes.
Is that a flaming galah sound effect? Is that what that was?
Flaming galah.
You're flaming galah.
I'm going to take you down just like a flaming galah.
No,
this
you can't.
You dog ass moles.
Courtney,
the thunder
from
down under.
I am in Los Angeles in West Hollywood. I could have walked to either of your houses, but you know, these uncertain times, we're not allowed.
We're not doing that. No, you wanted to be right where the action is. You said, well, I could stay in Australia where they have, where my parents have a solar-powered house, where they have universal health care. But no, I want to go to literal Dante's fuck fest.
It's funny because the other day I was like, maybe I should buy a gun. And I was like, oh, no.
We're there. We're at that point.
That's where we're at. I mean, I didn't, but the fact that I even thought about it was concerning.
I would buy one, but you can't get them anywhere. It's like a fucking hand sanitizer.
Don't they sell them on Amazon?
I've heard you cannot get a gun on Amazon.
Oh.
Good.
probably for the best.
Probably for the best.
Jesus.
It's funny because I was listening to the pod, as I am. I'm a deep friend of the pod, longtime listener, third time caller. And you, Alaska, had like a fucking Courtney Act, fucking solar powered healthcare comes to America. Like, what privilege? And I
really,
you know,
was I mad about it?
You did have like a slightly a slight tone in your voice, which I mean, it was funny because
was it pointed?
It was slightly pointed, but it was totally triple word score coming right up. it was funny because I totally was like, well, I don't know, like maybe I should come to LA or maybe I'll stay in Australia. Like I could go to my parents. And you were just like, what privilege? Like, oh, she's spoiled for choice as to where to spend the apocalypse. Whereas, you know, everyone's stuck here in one place. And
I can't believe you
decided to come and share this one place with you.
You guys are having a feud. I love it.
Like, no, it wasn't that. It was mostly like, it was just classic Courtney Act, just casually being like,
Courtney,
well,
classique.
I don't know. My parents have like a solar powered house with like a panic room and a bunker. I don't know. I might stay there. I don't know.
A kombucha porch. A kombucha porch. The organic compost. You know, the things you have.
We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah.
And
did you know it's the 151st episode too? So you're the special guest for that.
Oh my god, how auspicious.
All that shit is auspicious. I blow kisses. Okay.
What does auspicious mean?
I think it means good.
Yeah, what a unique and good occasion to be doing something.
Your showing was auspicious. The backup dancer on the left was off a beat, but it was auspicious.
There were a few clunkers.
She was a little suspicious. There were clunkers.
How were the girls last week? What did they do?
Well, on doing skit work in Gay's Anatomy. The divas made a lot of anal insertion jokes. And then we had a Planet of the Capes runway.
Sherry won everything.
What?
Sherry won everything again.
Sherry almost swooped.
Oh,
yeah. Did she win, though? She didn't win, though. She was top, though, for sure, right?
No, she did win.
Oh, she did? Oops, I was trying to block it.
She won everything. Heidi broke the heart, and it was a heart to break of Nikki Doll. And she went back to Paris.
It was a good little tipping song, though. But Nikki did have to hit it back to Paris.
Yes.
I
know what it's like being a queen whose second language is American. Like, it can be quite challenging overcoming the language barrier sometimes. You
tell us more about your struggle.
I don't know. Like, my parents have got a solar powered house, and I just thought.
My wigs are all human. 180 lace, density.
My lace fronts are all custom film lace. Hand
my knotted. Best my best friend is the best wig person in the world.
And the best stop motion Barbie animator in the world. Sorry to sidetrack, but have you been watching Wigs by Vanity's stop motion Barbie series Dolls of Our Lives?
I heard it got picked up for 3 more seasons.
I think it did. It's on Quibi.
We're Quibilitras.
Quibatina. So we come back in the room and the lipstick message says,
I might have not gotten a crown, but I have a sisterhood. I love you, your French sister. I'm still the prettier.
I'm still the prettier.
God bless. Now the Candace girl, she's the prettier. Heidi is making it clear that she has no plans to lip sync again. And
she says, don't put me in the bottom anymore.
And Britta is still like clueless while she's in the bottom, so she's just like, wow, where was Aiden? He wasn't in the bottom, he was my scene partner. And Aiden just like rolls his eyes so hard they look like they're gonna get stuck in the back of his head. He's
well,
over it.
Aiden's eyes are very out of control this episode, as we'll get to later.
I can't wait to go in on that whole Aiden Britta thing.
Well, you're gonna do so good, Courtney.
They keep bringing it up, and you know, to their credit, it was the same day and they were probably prompted to bring it up. But Britta's like, I don't know why I was in the bottom. And
but
Aiden says,
classic, it's that classic thing where a girl comes on Drag Race with expectations and anticipation of how well she's going to perform, doesn't deliver, and then constantly talks about how she's really good and tries to drive a bit like, dare I say, a bit like Davina on Drag Race UK. She kind of
whispering, no one will hear.
No one
it's between us.
It's fine.
That expectation of how
they do it.
Yeah.
Kind of underperformed, essence. But then consistently told people about how good she was. And then it just kind of didn't endear you to her at all. Like, I just, every time Britta talks about it, I'm just like, oh, show me, don't tell me.
Yeah, I hear that.
I don't think Davina ever underperformed. I just don't think she won as much as she thought she did. I was entertained by her the whole season.
Yeah.
Totally. But she was just kind of that thing where she's like, well, you know, out in the real world, I'm really good. And I'm like, yeah, I know you are, but like, this is the level playing field. We're all here to play again. I love Davina as well. But
Drag Race is not how much you get tipped in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, on Drag Race, I think it works best if you're able to sort of start from a blank slate and take everything for what it is. Because like Courtney, you were arguably one of the most sort of formerly successful queens to go into Drag Race. And you were already like known and established. Did you have moments of feeling like, oh, these hoes are not seeing me right?
I mean, there was definitely awkward moments where I told them rather than showed them. Like,
really?
I'm a household name in Australia.
Right.
if you watch my Australian story on the ABC, Vanity without prompting backs up that I was indeed a household name in Australia at that time. So I feel.
Oh, I love that.
I want to see the receipts.
I want to see the receipts.
I think I just went in there happy to be there, and I was just excited to be in this world and to try and do my best. Like, I don't think I ever thought that I was. I knew every single lip sync, regardless of whether I thought I did well or not. Like,
did you ever lip sync?
No, I never lip synced. No. But it's no time.
You didn't turn on your music in time.
Being on Drag Race isn't a time to rest on your laurels. I think you nothing is ever known, and you always have to be prepared. And it doesn't matter if you think you're good, you don't know what the other girls are like. Like, it's just that thing. Don't make assumptions about your own talent. Just try your hardest and hope for the best.
That's tea.
And justice for body parts. We're gonna take a break.
We're gonna take a break, but I just want to whip my hair really hard that my whole wig falls off and then walk out.
Body parts, okay. Body parts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. Oh my God, we're on Drag Race. How fun! Jan, honestly, is the eternal sunshine of the season. She is a huge fan of the show, and she's walking into the workroom, and she is just happy to be there.
Honestly, and I think everybody knows what's coming because Rue pops into the workroom and tells them straight away. She's like, it's snatch game time.
Yeah.
Let's
no fooling
do this.
Around.
She's like, get your shit out. I'm going to walk around and criticize you all and second guess you without even knowing. And then we'll see how you do.
And throw everyone a bum steer.
What's that?
A bum steer? Is that like a dead cow? Oh,
that must be Australian again. Throws everybody a red herring.
Oh, wait.
What's that?
She tells everybody that they shouldn't do the characters that they're doing.
That's tea. She does. She tries to shake them up.
She's like, I want to see I like a housewife. Do a housewife.
You know what? Actually, the thing that you've planned for years.
Don't do that.
Throw it out.
Yeah. I understand your concern, but I do not share that same concern.
I love that answer.
So eloquent. So eloquent.
10 girls left in the game, and 10 is a good snatch game number.
So 5-5.
Yeah, it's sometimes it fluctuates a little because, like, sometimes
like
they can. Sometimes they can do less than that. Sometimes they can do more than that. But 10 is a good 5 on top, 5 on the bottom. Who does she really throw a bum steer at? RuPaul comes in with Miss Vanjie.
Vanessa Vanjie Mateo, deep friend of the pod.
And Vanessa Vanjie's snatch game. I mean, she's sort of they're calling her like what not to do, but
I mean it was legendary.
It wasn't heinously bad.
Legendary for the wrong reasons.
What did she do again?
She did the girl.
Catch me outside girl.
Catch me outside girl.
Danielle Bergoli.
Yeah.
And she started out doing the whole voice like this. And then by the end, she was back to doing this voice.
By the end, she sounded like she was on Newports for sure.
Definitely pack a day.
Yeah, Newports are a proud sponsor of Race Chaser.
Heidi is talking to Rue and she says she's planning on doing Leslie Jones. And yes. Rue's like, nah, do somebody Southern. Like, ooh, do a housewife maybe. And how do you just say, no, RuPaul? No, stay out of my business. You don't know what I packed.
Heidi's like, okay. But then she's like, I don't know who that housewife is. So yeah.
And Heidi's one of the few girls that has always made Rue laugh this season. So like Rue's not even trusting her. She's just trying to start shit up.
But Heidi is just adorable.
Adorable.
She just love her.
Fully.
She
fully
is lovely. Also a listener of Race Chaser, so friend of the pod.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Deep friend.
We DM'd, yes.
So
did she slide into your DMs? Did you get
Oh my gosh.
Wait, didn't she refer to her dick on Untucked?
Oh my
she
gosh.
Did. It had a name.
Yeah, like Penelope. Penelope.
Penelope Penis?
Penelope is the 15th queen or the 14th queen of the season.
This is much.
Is it about it on Untucked?
Is it out of pocket? I want to go in his pocket.
Whoa, the remix. Is that Chromatica? Okay. Yeah. Rue,
you need a special dialing one to push the buttons.
Yes.
You need a special nail to do it.
Yeah, that's why I don't do it as well.
RuPaul tries to direct Jan in a different direction because she loved her Kris Jenner on her audition tape.
So she did Kris Jenner as her lip sync to what song? Like some Rue song?
Call Me Mother, probably.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. But and then it's revealed that Jan basically started doing drag because she was doing Kris Jenner. And it was like her boy name as I was like, that's interesting. So she started as one character and then still like, you know, branched off from there.
Yeah.
It's just she felt the call of that wig. You know, she did.
She did. The pussycat, honey.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What is it about boy names on Drag Race that are so unmentionable?
It just confuses everything. 2012 names is hard to remember, but imagine 24.
Yeah. I still don't know Willem's boy name.
Still trying to work that out. I think it's William.
That's so upsetting.
Now, do you feel the beat of the rhythm of the night?
I dance until the morning light.
Can you feel the beat? Can you feel the beat?
I wonder how many times do you think Vanjie knew who Elle DeBarge was?
Fuck no.
Do you think that RuPaul has got stocks in Elle DeBarge as well as oil and gas companies?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I love you, Courtney Act. Blocked. Like,
she keeps pushing this Elle DeBarge thing every episode.
RuPaul also tells Crystal to do Elle DeBarge, which I'm pretty sure
she would get red boots for.
I think that like, would be like,
how about you do this character that you've known nothing about?
That no one knows anything about.
His son's hot. His son's really hot.
Elle DeBarge is a black man. And Crystal,
is Latino.
I mean, I'm not gonna. Okay, great. But there's this meme.
Jessica Wilde did it.
There's this meme that says Crystal as soon as she gets home from Drag Race, and it's her on her phone, and then in the Google search it says, "Who the fuck is Elle DeBarge?" Like, what if she's just humoring Rue the whole time? Like, yeah, I know, I do, I look like him. It's crazy.
I mean, did you know who Elle DeBarge was before RuPaul had mentioned their name?
Yes.
I knew who DeBarge was. Like, I knew that was the singer of the song, but I didn't know him and what he looked like.
What he looked like or anything about him other than that song.
Yeah.
Like, are there any noticeable characteristics?
Yeah, his mullet. Like, he's fine. He's got a tiny little mustache. And his son is really hot, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a Snatch Game winner.
Your Snatch Game was pretty good.
My overall, the Snatch Game of season 6 was good. My personal Snatch Game was probably around a 5.
I just said alcohol.
Mr. RuPaul, do you have are you single? Because when my girlfriend
My girlfriend Val is local for the cocoa.
Ever since Obama got in power, my girlfriend Val's been local for the cocoa.
Oh, wow.
Underrated.
Ruined. I mean, look, there was some clunkers. There was Bender LaCreme, there was Adore, and there was Bianca, who absolutely slayed it.
Actually,
Darian as well as the cooking lady.
And Jocelyn was really funny as well. Like, you guys had a really good snatcheroo.
Yeah.
On S6.
No romper room fuckery. This walkthrough with Jackie, they're like, well, it worked the first time with Vanjie. Let's find our new boyfriend. Let's get some storyline.
She's trying to play matchmaker.
Girl,
make me a snatch.
You know, RuPaul has wanted a love story on her show since season 5, because when I interviewed her on the carpet for season 5, she said this season two of our girls finally fall in love. She said that right to my face. It's on Logo News or New Now Next, whatever.
And she was,
She was talking about Jinx and Ivy. Like, they were trying to push that storyline somehow, and that didn't work.
Jinx was trying to push it too, but Ivy wasn't playing ball.
There was some pushback from Ivy. the thing that I like about the walkthrough, at least, is RuPaul is saying, see, this is what I want. I want it to be funny like this. You know, it should be natural. The ping, the pong, the bam, the boom.
Yes, she does. She explains.
She explains, I want to have a good time on set today, so bring it, bitches.
It's true, and that's the key. Jackie Cox has a great walkthrough because she tries to get her to do Julie Andrews and also Julia Roberts.
No, she says, I was also thinking about doing Julie Andrews. And then Vanjie goes, oh, yeah, I love Julia Roberts. And everyone's just confused as to Vanjie.
Everyone, including Vanjie, is confused. It's fine. I think she's okay with that. But
she goes with Lisa Rinna in the end.
I'm concerned about you playing a robot, though, Gigi.
Well, I understand your concern, but I do not share that same concern, RuPaul.
I love that. And, yeah. And I don't have something on my face.
Girl, the way to just go, no, RuPaul.
Yeah.
And what a brilliant idea, because, like, how many people can call RuPaul a bitch to her face?
Yeah.
Like, girl, it's like, so funny. It's perfect.
It's a good choice.
Yeah. Ooh, as are the judges for the Snatch Game. It's Daniel Franstasi and Jonathan Bennett.
AAA Girls, Santa Claus, Dear Santa, Bring Me a Man music video star, Daniel Franstasi.
Yeah, I'm sorry, your publicist did send over the career bio and highlights with Bring Me a Man on the cover. Miss Act.
Bring me a man!
Plug the product. Now, we're going to take a break, but we're going to find out whether Willem sucked the Santa or not. We'll be right back.
Oh, wow.
Well, we are back, and oh my gosh, the special guests just keep popping up into this Zoom meeting. Thank God Zoom can handle so many clients at once. We have another, not in studio guest, but remote guest, Jonathan Bennett is here.
And it's not even
What's
October.
What's up, guys?
Nothing. Thank you so much for coming on, distinguished RuPaul's Drag Race guest.
I do feel distinguished. I'll tell you that.
It's a small few. You're definitely you're famous now for sure. There's, you know.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's been years, but finally it worked.
You've made
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was hoping that 2020, this is going to be my year, guys.
This is the one.
But I mean, I've been a fan of the show since season 4 or 5. I've been a huge fan of the show, and every time I watch it, all I do is bitch about not being a judge on there. Like, why does Gus Kenworthy get to be a judge and I don't get to be a judge? Like, that's all I say. Cheyenne Jackson's a judge and I don't get to be a judge. And then finally, They called and were like, you can be a judge. And it was like, ah, finally.
I'm so glad. You were great. And oh, what a great episode too, Snatch Game.
Guys, like, here's the thing. They call, they're like, oh, you're doing RuPaul's Drag Race. And I'm like, I'm in. And then they're like, and it's with Danny Francesi, your Mean Girls co-star. It's going to be a Mean Girls episode. I'm like, even better. And they're like, oh, and it's Snatch Game. You literally like dropped the phone.
Honestly.
Like, I don't know what was better. Like them calling to be like, hey, do you want to be in Ariana Grande's music video? Or do you want to be a guest judge on Snatch Game for RuPaul? Like both were equal phone calls that happened where I was like, I need to take a second because I'm such a fangirl for so many people that like I need a moment to process.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those like actors that's cool at being like, oh, like, oh, whatever, you know, they're just colleagues. Like, I work with these people. No, I'm a friggin' fan. I'm obsessed. And I turn into, like, a five-year-old girl.
I love that.
As the dog walks through the frame.
So, wait, okay. So, you were in Snatch Game. Was it everything that you hoped and dreamed it would be? Because being there in the room is very different than watching it on TV.
It is extremely different. Like,
yeah,
I've worked with a ton of people that are super funny and I've never felt uncomfortable. I've always felt like I can hold my own. The dogs are walking on the computer. I've always felt like I could hold my own and felt very confident in like my shtick and what I do and what I think is funny and yada yada.
Yeah.
And then you go to RuPaul and you're in the Snatch Game. First of all, you walk on set, all the queens are there. You've never met them.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I don't know who any of these people are. And they're dressed up as characters. That's the first time I've ever seen these people. So they're not in regular drag. They're in, like, celebrity character drag.
Yeah.
So already you don't know, like, what to do. You know, I've worked with a bunch of people. But when you walk in, you've never met these people. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like I could hold my own. And then it's – but then RuPaul looks at you and is like, say something funny. And it's dead quiet. And it's like the air has been sucked out of the room. And you're like, no, I can't. Like, you literally go blank because that room is so sterile. The Snatch Game stage is so, like, you can hear a pin drop. So, like, even if you say something funny, nobody laughs.
Yes, it's very strange.
Because of the sound.
Yeah.
So, like, all you do is you feel like you're saying things that are just bombing. I'm like, well, this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Like, I'll never get to, this is the end of it right here. And so, like, doing that, but it was such a weird experience. It was such a weird experience, but also so cool.
Do you remember?
You watched it on television, and you were hysterical and funny and likable.
Yes.
See, I had the opposite experience when I was on Drag.
Oh, dear.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So, you know, that Snatch Game is really, really interesting. And, like, oh my God. Jackie Cox, though. The stuff they cut out of Jackie Cox.
Really?
Him doing Lisa Rinna is the funny, like that can be its own show on its own. It is so funny. The stuff they cut, because there was just so much of it. Like he would get up and like give diapers. Like it was hysterical. Like in Harry Hamlin, the whole like running gag of always talking about Harry and just being able to put her husband into any conversation was brilliant. And they cut so many out.
It was very studied and really fun to watch.
Oh.
I don't watch.
So wait, who else stood out to you, good or bad?
It's so funny because Aiden Zane, we didn't know, right? Like, I didn't know Aiden Zane prior to seeing her do the, what's the person's
Patricia
name?
Quinn.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Patricia Quinn. We didn't know them prior to that, but now that we watched the whole season, it would have been different. Like, I understand where he's coming from. Like, I like Aiden Zane. I think people give him a hard time, but like, you think about, like, he's what is he? He literally is like an IHOP pancake prep chef in this town, and now he's like on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's insane. So, like, of course, you know, I think people leave the show when it's time for them to leave. But like building up to that, I was always a fan of his, thinking like, okay, come on, you're the underdog. You can do it. Because I say this because I have been on many a reality show where mm-hmm. I was supposed to be the underdog that pulled through, and I didn't. That's why I came in ninth place on Dancing with the Stars and was sent home first on Big Brother. So I have a soft spot for Aiden Zane.
Courtney did so much better on those.
Yeah, we're reality show mates, sisters.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
You got to put on a wig, Jonathan. Try it that way.
That'll do it. That'll
People
do
are
it.
Sucker for a wig.
They love a wig.
They love a good wig and a heel. I think I love Heidi and for Snatch Game. Let's talk about Snatch Game specifically. Obviously, there was someone on that panel that was amazing and hysterical, and you can't deny that she's not funny.
Yeah.
And I
Sherry
thought,
Pie.
Yes.
Oh,
I thought
she who shall be mentioned.
Yeah, like Voldemort. Who Heidi in Closet I thought was funny. Gigi, come on. That's why she won. Like, she won it because you don't expect Gigi to nail a robot. Like, to nail a robot, that was so hard. And in the room when she was doing it, I was like, either this is going to edit horribly or it's going to be amazing. And when they edited it, it was exactly what you wanted it to be. Gigi's hysterical. Like, was so good as a robot. Because if you can take a robot and make it funny, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she nailed that robot. Not quite the same thing, but Cartier nailed a sex doll in my bed and then she stuffed it down my fire chute, my garbage chute, and it got stuck. But that's another story.
Oh, that was Thursday.
Yeah, I learned about that on YouTube. I was like, oh, that's what that dead body in the garbage disposal was.
I mean, it has no head, arms, or legs, though.
It had a head.
It did?
Yeah.
Huh. Their name was Bob.
Damn, Roberta.
Gigi's robot was so good.
So did you do Snatch Game one day and then come back the next day for Runway, or was that the same day?
Yeah, came back next day for Runway.
Gorge, nice.
Yeah, which was so fun because like just walking in, that's another time where like that moment where like they do the walk and then they do it again so you can make the jokes. That's another moment where it feels like the air is being sucked out of the room. Like,
for sure, yeah.
It's dead quiet, and they're like, okay, Carson's next to you, Rue's next to, and then Michelle, go ahead and say some jokes in there. I'm like, nope, not doing it. Like, it makes you feel, because no one says anything, so you can say one that's funny, and they won't even react. And you're like, I suck, but actually turned out really well. But, you know, as far as the queens this year, I really like Heidi in Closet. I don't know what it is about her, but there's something about her that, I don't know. How do I say this? This is like, go with me on this, right? Go with me on this.
She's got an it factor for sure.
It has an it factor. It's that thing you can't explain. It's like, is she the most polished? Nope. Is she the most talented overall? Probably not. But is there something about her that she just inherently has that you can't teach? Yes. And that's that X factor. Like, she just has a thing about her that makes you want to watch her and makes you want to listen to what she says. Even though it might not be she might not have the best, you know, of as far as like fashion and all the things that it takes to win. I don't know if she's at the level that, you know, people who win the show to be at, but there's something about her that's extremely special.
Yeah.
And there's a really beautiful innocence to her. And she just has this joy that like radiates, and she's so innocent and lovely, and it's a joy to watch.
Yeah. You can't help but like her.
Yeah.
For sure. Was there anybody else that you were like throwing, like going for, like throwing softballs to or bantering back with? Like, who did you have the most fun with on set?
I mean, Jackie Cox is very funny. She was very, but like on, here's the thing. When we walked into Untucked, right? You saw that huge fight happening.
Yeah.
That happened, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't know that fight was happening. They were just like, Jonathan, Danny, go. And we walk in. And there's this huge fight, and they were like, hey guys. And it was super awkward. So I'm like,
Girl,
you literally have no clue what's happening in that moment. I'm like, now watching it back, I was like, oh, they were coming after each other right when we walked in.
You were gooped at the pageant with that one. They sent you right into the line of fire. And everybody just had that, like they want to be nice to you because they love you, but they're like in the middle of an argument. They're like, hi, how are you? No, everything's fine. Yep, no, we're having an argument. No, it's fine.
I literally turned to Danny when we left. I go, I don't think they're that nice.
Damn.
It was like my first time interacting with them. But, you know, we don't have a lot of interaction with the girls. Like during Snatch Game, like we don't say much. Like Rue does it all, you know? We don't really have any like back and forths.
They were giving you guys nooch, as we say on the podcast, when you walked into that fucking Untucked. They were not having it.
Not featuring it.
Cool. Okay. Are you guys done? All right. Great. Nice.
We're like, apparently. Bye.
Oh my
like,
God.
Did you guys have a good really time? Awkward. Thanks for judging. So fun.
Thanks for judging.
We'll see you out there, okay? No, we'll find you.
Yeah, your hair looks sexy. Push back. Please leave. Thank you. Yeah. And then let's talk about the lip sync.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Oh, please. Please, please.
Tell me about the lip sync. The snow. You were so
Aiden
happy.
Aiden and Britta. But Britta's been on the bottom twice now, right?
Yeah.
Or three times.
She can open her mouth so wide. I was shocked during the lip sync. It's
loose
I've
jaw.
Never seen anything
it,
like it.
It felt like
loose jaw.
It felt like she was doing the Idina Menzel version and not the Broadway version. Like big old open Idina mouth, not like cute Cassie mouth.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know me, like my two favorite things in life are drag queens
and snow
and musicals. And, so when they were like, oh, by the way, the lip sync is going to be to Frozen from Broadway. I literally burst into glitter and just like fell down. Like it was like,
yeah,
that's like, all right, this is where, yeah, this is where you leave me. Bye.
Yeah.
Like I'm done here. I sprout wings and just fly away. Like, and my work is done. Bye. Like,
fully.
Oh. But it was having them sing Frozen, and it was like the most magical moment of my life. I loved it so much. But Aiden, come on. A little bit more. I think he knew he was going home.
And I think as well, like, I just thought, if you were there, what week were we in? Week five?
Yeah.
And
Six.
Week six. And, like, every week, the girls are wearing you down. Like, there's only so long you can, like, keep up that brave face. And I feel like maybe around week four, he started to have this, like, slightly forced, but I believe it, like, energy and confidence to things he started saying. Like, I'm Aiden Zane. And then by this, it was just like, he was just so sick and tired of living in a constant, you know, situation, having the other girls berate him and complain and have Britta sort of gang up on him about he should have been in the bottom and he should have done this. It was just kind of that thing that you saw the defeat in him.
Yeah.
Having said that, if he'd won, then Britta would have gone home and his problems would have been solved. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's the whole thing I mean, I think that happens because it's a reality show. So obviously you guys know, you've been there, you understand. But like, this is me getting on my soapbox of life in the whole LGBT community. Like, yes, it's a reality show. It's its own thing. But like the people that are just like, that just like come for people and go after people of the same community. It's like, what, guys, we're on the same team here. Like we're not the enemy. We're not against each other. Stop coming for people in your own community, in your own place. Like, that is not what this is about. Like, everyone, because they always praise, like, this is off topic, but like in like the community, it's like everyone wants to talk about pride and like having, you know, a sense of family and a sense of togetherness, and we are one, but then we'll just sit and rip each other apart within the community. And that is what my biggest pet peeve, which I hate.
You watch my YouTube?
I saw a little, well, obviously.
Thank you.
But like with like what's going on in that show, they're coming after him and it's like, he's a kid. I mean, he's a cook at this thing and now he's on Drag Race. Like,
yeah.
Give him a second. Like, guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. He's not going to be like someone like Britta, who's done things forever. And then, you know, been doing drag forever, New York, headlining all the stuff. And then someone like Aiden to even be able to go against her for 4 weeks or 5 weeks of whatever it was is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, if you were to pop psychology 101, I'd say that like Britta was feeling that she had lost her sense of, you know, power and control over the situation because she wasn't performing as well. And she saw an opportunity to reclaim some of that by, you know, belittling Aiden while begigging herself.
Yeah.
Did you say begigging?
Begging.
Oh. Well, that sounds fun too.
I made it up. It's not a real word. So don't try.
Aiden definitely had a lot of iconic moments and memorable moments about her. So I have a feeling feeling we haven't seen the last of Aiden Zane. John, is there anything else? We're just so grateful to have you for this segment, Jonathan. Thank you for being here. Is there anything else you want to leave our audience with before we send you back to quarantine?
Before I go back to quarantine, I would like to say the most important thing you can do right now is order the Burn Cookbook, which is my Mean Girls unauthorized parody cookbook on Amazon. It's very, very important for the world, and I think you should definitely order the Burn Cookbook. You can make things like fettuccine Alfredo. You can make Gretchen's wieners. It's not regular guac, it's cool guac. Or you could just make the Why Are You White Russian.
For
$16 and 6 cents in hardcover, it can be shipped to your door. And then you guys can sit around and make awesome shooters with your awesome friends and go on Zoom and talk about each other's awesomeness.
You can spend your time in quarantine practicing all of these meals so that when you're out and you're allowed to entertain, you'll have a whole smorgasbord of delicious treats.
Yes. Nothing is more important right now, guys. Nothing.
Jonathan, is there alcohol in these margaritas?
Yes, there are. We have a happy hour section. We have a cocktail section called Happy Hours from 4 to 6. See what we did
I
there.
Love that.
Mean Girls reference. And
there's a few Mean Girls references.
And we have cocktails in there like the Too Gay to Function Cosmo. We have the Why Are You White Russian. Yeah. We have the...
what are the drink specials today?
A lot of them.
You can't you just think? Ask people why they're white.
Why not? She's white.
Thank you so much for being here
with
us,
Jonathan. We love
you.
Thank you so much for coming.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Bye. Tell James I said hi.
All right. Bye.
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 So this mirror chats, when your girls are painting, always seem to be that point where they're pushing a story that they haven't gotten out organically yet. So they're basically, talk about this, blah, blah, blah. And we get a great amount of backstory from Widow, which makes me respect her even more. The part about her uncle kicking her out after her mom died and she was, you know, doing whatever she had to do to get by, and drag saved her and like lifted her out of all the bad stuff. It's just like she's already a fucking great performer. Like, give me more reasons to like her. I really do enjoy everything that they're giving me for Widow.
Yeah, I do too. She's stunning. And like her backstory is also really like touching, and she's fucking kicking ass. I like her.
And she's a brave, brave woman. When I went to Make Out Mondays, she got on the floor of Foo Bar. The floor. She was bucking. So, yeah.
Those days are gone.
Gigi is able
to... That's some gay Shawn Mendes shit right there. That kid that licked the toilet bowl and ended up in hospital and got corona.
He ended up in the hospital?
Not all that. Not this.
Rolling around on the floor at FUBAR. That's some
the equivalent. Yeah. The equivalent.
Gigi, when she starts talking about being gender fluid, the music goes real, like, the underscoring changes, and it's the first time we've ever had, like, this moment on Drag Race, and I think it was handled great. I wish they would go further, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she is gender fluid.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because, like, for me, the term gender fluid, like, I feel like, women, depends on, like, where your yardstick is. Women wearing trousers.
Yardstick? Wow.
Do you measure from behind the balls?
Like, in 1932, Katharine Hepburn was, like, one of the first women to wear trousers, right, in film. And it caused such a controversy that she wasn't even allowed to enter the lobby of the hotel that she was staying in because she was a woman in slacks. Like, that was being gender fluid in that era. And it's kind of interesting, like, in 2020, this idea that, like, men should wear or behave a certain way or women should wear certain clothes and behave a certain way just seems so, like... Not being gender fluid seems archaic now.
Gee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to wear a color? Wear a color. You want to wear a piece of fabric? Wear a piece of fabric.
Exactly.
I think narratives like this really help with that.
Well, Courtney, thank you for that talk. Now, more on Crystal. her poppy was accurate, I guess, because I did look up who Poppy was after this, but I just didn't think it was I didn't think she found a way to make it even more funny to stand up against everybody else, but it was fine.
Yeah.
Once like I Googled it, yeah. It was like, oh, okay, I got it.
I bet Alaska knew who Poppy was.
Very vaguely, but I didn't know like the whole cult storyline or whatever. So it's like, so if you're going to choose a character that especially RuPaul doesn't know, it's like, forget about the world at large. But if RuPaul doesn't give a fuck about this character, it's probably not like the best choice.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jackie even says that. She said, this is the one challenge that you have the most time to prepare for. And she's right. Like, you should make sure that you know that you're going to make Ru laugh and people are going to be generally knowledgeable about this so you can joke about it, you know?
And in the past, when we've seen like niche characters that the wider public may not have known, like Jinx's little Edie, you know that Ru knows, and you know that that's queer history, and that it's going to work on that level. But Poppy is just very left of field.
And Jinx had a way of making it, even if you had no idea who this person was, she was still extremely funny and like inviting you into the world of this character.
See, that's what Crystal did for me, because I don't watch Housewives, so I don't really know much about what Lisa's like.
Jackie Cox.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And I still enjoyed it. Like, it just needs to be universally funny.
And going back to the preparing for this, this is the one challenge you have the most time to prepare for. A lot of the girls took sort of exception to this because they were like, well, in the moment it's improv and that isn't my strong suit. But
Britta said, right?
Widow was saying that. Yeah, that she was just like, I froze in the moment. And Britta too. But I think knowing that, though, it's good to give yourself things to fall back on. So whether that's like funny one-liners you can use for fucking anything, like come on up and fuck me in the ass sometime, or just like props, like Jackie Cox was very the prop queen. And it worked. Yeah.
She's a prop queen.
It's funny because when people say, oh, I'm no good at improvisation, it's like, here's the kicker. Life is improvised.
Like, I never thought of that. You're right.
Everything that's going on right now is improvised. We're reacting to what each other are saying. And acting is reacting. Oh, yeah. Am I allowed to talk about this week's gorgeous wig on the runway yet?
You can't tame a Persian rose.
You can't tame a Persian rose.
And we did have confirmation. But it is, in fact, a Persian rose.
On RuPaul, this sort of pink-hued, beautiful hair. It's called, the color's called Persian Rose by Wigs by Vanity.
Yes.
And I love that.
A double stack.
It is a double stack.
She's got the party, Mitzi.
Curtis William detailed how he did it and gave away some secrets. He said it was by a very lovely wig company. It was not in the tagged photos, but it does look beautiful. And I love RuPaul's eyes too. Ru's wearing gray contacts in it. It's so pretty.
What is that, Courtney?
What are you showing us?
It seems to have been deleted from the net space.
Wait, what? He deleted it? Curtis redacted. Deleted it?
Yeah. Redacted.
Redacted. And I do it again.
I was just looking at it this morning, and I was like, that Persian rose every time.
Yeah.
Oh, he deleted it.
I guess someone else is doing Ru's wigs next season.
Oh, fuck.
Damn.
That early, well, I only have 9 fingers.
Let's talk about this runway. Her outfit? I really want to look at it.
Can we talk about the dress, too? Because it's
RuPaul's dress?
It's like poured metallic something. You know that blue material that Brooklyn had that dress made out of last season? It looks like a silver version of that that's just like pinned and draped in the right spot to look like, you know, just like liquid metal. She looks so beautiful. I'll never look this beautiful ever.
Yeah. Some people are making garbage bag comparisons. And I, for that reason,
I see it.
Give this a top salute of the week. Salute, salute.
For
I
sure.
love it. She it's looks so awesome. Should we watch the Frozen Eleganza runway?
Let's watch. Yes. Inspired by Broadway musical Frozen Eleganza.
Frozen threw some money at this episode. Okay. They have a set piece. They have fucking trees on the runway.
They got a snow machine or they got a bitch sitting up in the rafters. One or the two.
Yeah. Heidi N. Closet looks astounding.
Yeah.
I love the Russian influence. This is a great, I mean, I love a muff in drag. I just really do. This is a yes. This is amazing.
Deep salute. Jackie comes out wearing blonde. She's doing a blonde illusion, and it's like this metallic pearl, like holographic corset, and it's supposed to look like the crown jewel of one of the Frozen princesses' crown or something.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like she's emerging from a tulip.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
it looks
love
like
it.
The end of Tu Wong Fu. Like she would be one of the flowers.
Yeah,
and sorry that.
She cleaned the fucking fingerprints off that shit too, which I appreciate because it can get really fingerprinty. She looks fucking awesome.
Oh, but bitch, Jada, this ice storm coming down the runway.
This
everything.
Is drag excellence.
Yeah, bejeweled, just dripping in ice, and she brought her own crown. Which I love.
She brought it, yes.
It's very like storm.
Aurora Monroe is quaking.
Mm-hmm.
This is so fucking stunning. This is Jada, she's
the essence of beauty.
Is she a pageant winner?
Honey, the essence of beauty.
Okay, well, it shows. She's amazing. Next
On
we
Jan,
have Jan.
Her latex.
With a face reveal. She's very cold.
I think that everybody's doing this rubber thing now that Aquaria did it. We're gonna have people using this SSIK designer a lot, you know.
Oh yeah, Aquaria did it for the mermaid.
Yeah, I talked to her about doing a bra for me, and then I forgot about it. Damn, I think it's because I ran out of Target bras.
Yeah,
they stopped making the ones I liked. But
Don't
Jan looks
sick. About my Drag Race reveal costumes like that.
Saw your Big Brother reveal.
Hate it, bitch. It's pretty cool, and she's delivering it. She's acting it, and she's like a fucking ice demon from hell.
Yeah, white daywalker.
Hell frozen.
Now Widow Fondue comes out in her Titanic look with the boy around her.
Oh my god!
Looks like she ripped a few tassels off Jan's costume as she left the stage and super glued them to her face.
In this moment of time, right now. This is such a grim vision because, and it makes me wonder if in 100 years people are going to do like corona drag where they're like mocking us, like people dying of corona, because we're basically on a sinking Titanic right now as a country.
Somebody said aliens.
We're in the middle of it happening. And maybe in 100 years, it'll be like really funny. But right now, it's so fucked.
Some meme said the aliens are in space going, oh, my God, I'm watching Earth season 2020. It's crazy. These stupid people. Very that. Gigi comes pumping down in the good humor ice cream lady, good humor man with the little blue hair and the pink nose because it's so cold. Chilly Willy. Like so cute.
It's tailored to perfection. And also, I just want to give props to the prop because it's
a lamp? It looks like a light up lamp. There's a hole in the bottom. I saw.
But the way that she can hold it just with one hand is very important. She's not encumbered by it. It's just sort of weightless and complimentary.
Yeah. She could hold it out from the body. There's some sort of rigging that she did. So smart. What a smart girl.
It's heavenly.
She's my top salute of the week for sure.
Yeah.
Aiden is blonde, and I think it's fun, and it has a lot of like humor to it. This Yeti abominable snowman thing, very cute.
I liked it more than it was given credit for. I thought I was like, it's a dress. Yeah. It's got a look. It's got a moment.
Manila would do the same thing, and people would pee for it. So I'm gonna say good job.
Oh yeah, it's very Manila, isn't it?
But the contacts on the close ups where they're like not up and down. That's
over
so
some shade.
Girl, that's I mean, you want to talk about eyes, Courtney?
There have also been some James Mansfield comparisons with Aiden's look because it's very her. And honestly, take it for what you will, but I would wear Aiden's look from top to toe today. I would wear it on stage right now. So she looks good. Next, we have Britta.
Britta is doing this Alexis Michelle silhouette. With a mink stole. It's by the same designer, Christopher Palau, I think.
Okay.
It looks great. Does it give me Frozen? No, Hosen.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it really is excellent. It's beautiful. It's stunning. Do I look at it and say, oh, this bitch is cold. Frozen. No.
She doesn't give me cold. That my takeaway is not cold at all.
Yeah.
And Sherry Pie is not even on the runway.
Well,
she looked good.
We have Crystal though.
Courtney,
we're talking about the drag queen.
We're doing Crystal. Perk
Here's
up.
Crystal.
Courtney, we're talking about the drag queen.
She looks great.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to smoke her? You like her?
Ice Crystal.
You're
is
on
this
ice.
This
hard
is
ice.
Really too
you're
much.
On, you're on hard ice.
This
hard
is
ice.
Really
smoking
too
ice.
Much. We have to talk about this look because I love it.
Ooh, it's a walking look too. A walking crystal.
She does a coat reveal to a full blouse. Like
so
there's
great.
It's a like I'm blouse. Revealing this very covered up thing to another really covered up thing. It's exquisite. I love it. It's modern, it's fashion, it has a point of view. I love it.
So the safe girls are called out. It's
what
tight.
About Sherry Pie?
She wasn't even on the iTunes episode. She normally
Where
is
she at? I want to see the clothes.
The clothes are, it's a very structured, it looked like tapestry, like all the things that she's good at. Everything looked great. She had a little piece of hair in front of her face like Detox did once.
Oh, that's right.
So what do we think of the decision not to?
I think Frozen wanted no one that is being.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think they were probably like, if our name is on this, we probably, you know.
It's such a confusing thing because in some ways, I mean, she's doing such a good job. She's slaying consistently, but obviously she has these skeletons that, well, are no longer in her closet. And the announcement at the beginning of each episode is such a, like...
Grim. It's
like,
grim.
Remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of draws such attention to it. And I don't know if there is a correct answer on how to handle it. I guess they're doing the best job. I can't think of... I don't know if there's a better way to do it, but it seems weird.
I've gotten some questions online from people asking like, can she make amends and reestablish herself? We all need to earn a living. And I just think that she can't, you know, like there's a trust that goes with like being a fellow performer where like you don't fuck with another girl's gig. You don't like get her hopes up. And like, we all deal with that kind of stuff all the time. So to like go out of your way to like toy with someone when they're just doing their best to get by and they have dreams and they're trying to succeed just like you is just reprehensible to me. So she's just persona non grata. And I mean, people gave me a second chance and I'm thankful for that and stuff. But I was never trying to hurt anybody. She was trying to hurt people. Or mislead
I think it's
people.
Reprehensible, but part of me thinks, I mean, I think she's like 27 or something. And not that age
old
is
enough to know better. Yeah.
Not that age is an excuse, but I think about like some of the crazy shit I got up to in my youth. And I'm sure some of the crazy shit that all the girls on the show got up to.
I'm still doing it.
Not crazy shit in that respect necessarily, but like people have different, I'm going to use it again, yardsticks for their morals and values. And
where do you keep all these yardsticks? How many storage centers do you have?
In my yardstick closet. It's next to the panic room.
Thank you.
But
the bunker.
You know, I just feel like, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but I do. She obviously has made a mistake and I'm sure that she knows that. I'm not saying that she should be forgiven for it, and I'm not saying that she should be included in the episode by any means, but I'm just wondering what the best way to handle this whole thing is, and maybe this is it. I don't know.
Yeah, if you want to see what Sherry's been wearing a lot of the season, you just check out Florence DeLee's page.
What's her name?
Florence DeLee. I think it's like D.LEE. Real pretty stuff.
That's the tea. Like, her work is really exquisite, and I think that the viewing audience is capable of separating that from the reprehensible behavior of the
individual.
The individual. So yeah. I hope that this episode, the reason she was excised from the runway was just because it was affiliated with Frozen and Disney, and or the musical or whatever. But I hope that they don't continue cutting her out of the runway, because it's sort of drawing more attention to it. Because she's not cut out of the rest of the episode. This person exists and is influencing the competition. So pretending that it isn't there, like, either just cut her out completely or leave her in the runway. That's what I think they should do.
Her look is kind of like somewhat like a feminine
penguin,
as a penguin.
Yeah, Edwina Cobblepot. I was thinking that totally.
Penguina Cobblepot.
You know, the problem
I
is
I played which... this stinking city like a harp from hell.
The problem is that we and other people, like the running joke of the season, like Bunny and Bianca on that Work the World Live thing, like that there's jibes at Sherry. Like, we're talking about Sherry. Like, we're spending more time talking about the fact that she's not being talked about, which is kind of the irony of the whole situation.
Well, this is fun. Who cares what we're talking about? People live. And like, people we have the same thought, Courtney. That's crazy.
We have the same what?
We had the same exact, like, yeah. I knew it. I was like, yeah, very Edwina Cobblepot.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Gigi Good is the winner.
Yes.
And a cash tip.
The attention to detail.
Very Lee Dawson of
you. Yes. $5. Yeah, she is the rightful winner. I think she crushed it. I think Jackie was really fucking close and just didn't get it this time.
Good for Gigi. She's been slaying this whole competition. Has been real close to wins, but hasn't gotten it. But to have like RuPaul look her in the face and say home run, like, how awesome. Gee, you know,
very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But this lip sync song, Let It Go, is,
yeah,
it for me can go. Did you like it?
What, you didn't care for this moment?
No, I just like, it's like one of those songs where you're like, if it's not Courtney yelling it at Revolver, I don't want to hear it.
Lol.
The funny thing is, Courtney was doing that song that night at that bar, and I was home, and I heard her from there, and then I came up to the bar and filmed it.
It was actually Warner that alerted you to my singing.
He was howling. yeah,
Britta blows off this fire spark effect during the lip sync, which I've heard tell that was a surprise to production. They weren't exactly pleased about fucking sparks flying at RuPaul's face.
Oh, wow. Let me guess, she goes home next week.
I don't know, and I can't speak to that. I just
fire
heard
starting
this,
bitch
heard
pack.
This as whispers in the wind, because it's like, that's the sort of thing they're checking your suitcase for. Is like,
that's
do
the kind
you
of shit
any...
that I would do. Yeah, like, and that's the kind of thing you don't tell them you're doing. You just do it. And
explosive flammable.
Yes,
next week someone will have a cigarette lighter and a can of, you know.
Ah, no. But that's the kind of way you can. The only way she could have gotten away with it was by not asking permission, but just asking forgiveness afterward.
What a brilliant.
Have any of you ever done that kind of a trick?
It's like zinc paper or something, some sort of.
Yeah, I spit fire. I've never done the paper one though.
Yeah, I've spat.
You
fire.
Spit?
Shut up, bitch.
I thought for sure you would swallow fire.
Oh wow. So Britta wins, and Aiden
Britta crushed the lip sync. Come on,
her mouth was open too big the whole time. Like,
that's the whole point.
The song was not that loud. Why would her mouth need to be open? I have nitpicky, stupid feelings because I'm real particular about lip syncing because it's got to be good for me to like it. Because normally I'm used to, like, you know, Courtney, and like I like.
If you have fucking 37 refrigerator fucking tile teeth like that, why you would you not open your mouth to the max so you could count each and every one?
It just, it felt like it was like, the song wasn't that loud yet, and her mouth was like so big. I'm like, okay, who are you? Are you still doing Jennifer Holliday?
You know what? She reminds me of in South Park, someone's little brother in South Park. It's like,
oh, where their head bounces. Yeah.
It's two separate pieces clacking together.
Her head is, yes.
That's cute.
Shady bitch.
I like that. As a visual, we have to do a side by side dip if you don't mind. That.
Aiden's goodbye walk is fine, and then he screams his way out by saying, I will not leave this competition being the quiet bitch.
So she goes, I'm on RuPaul's Drag Race. We're going to meet Cher.
Speaking of side by side, sorry. I was just thinking, I forgot to mention before, Jonathan pulls an Alaska when the snow starts falling in the lip sync and catches the snow with his tongue. That could be a good side-by-side Alaska from the AAA Girls Bring Me a Man music video, available on iTunes.
He thought it was gay.
Dear Santa, dear OSHA, bring me a slip and fall lawsuit. I was concerned for the divas because it was falling on the stage, right?
And it is a liquid. Yeah. That snow, when it hits, it usually melts.
Yeah.
Dear OSHA.
Dear OSHA RuPaul. Right?
OSHA is the Occupational Safety and Health Association. So wait, okay, we're running over time, but we should do one line from Untucked.
Courtney, would you like to select a line from Untucked, ladies first?
Yeah, sure. Girl, are we good? Do we hate each other? Are we still friends?
Aw, that's sweet. That's a very Courtney thing.
Some girls can be so touchy.
I have a line from Untucked that isn't listed in our choices, and I'll paraphrase it. So Heidi, like, they've been criticizing your makeup since day one, and like, you still obviously haven't fixed it. So like, you aren't listening to the judge.
That's from the Courtney Act textbook of Drag Race line.
Totally. Like, I mean, take Heidi, for instance. Like, she's been criticized week after week for her makeup, and she still hasn't done anything about it. So. And then they were like, let's have a heart to heart. Let's have a sister talk. And then in come the mean girls' gaze.
Do you guys want to talk to us? We know Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
My line from Untucked is Vanjie. I brought the bubbly sparkling water. I hope you're bringing the drama.
I'm a cool man.
I love any girl that can get in a plug.
Totally. Now, before we go, Courtney, do you have a little special, a special treat for us?
I've been using these times to practice the ukulele. As yet, I haven't learned body parts.
She's still practicing.
Justice
for body parts.
Happy birthday. You didn't learn that one either.
I didn't. Also, but, it's Dipper's birthday. Wow! Today.
It's Dipper's birthday. Applause! Applause!
Yay! Hey, pretty girl, it's your world. No, that's not it.
I think it's Kitty Girl, but I'm just.
What did I say?
You said pretty girl, but I'm just, you know, nitpicking at this point. We're down to the best of the best, so it comes down to these small details.
Shall I play you out with another Disney song?
Please.
Kaleidoscope. Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
That's not kaleidoscope. Kaleidonope.
Ain't no passing craze.
Do kaleidoscope, you cunt.
No worries for the rest of your day. I can't give up.
It's our mean girl free. New theme song, see.
Hakuna Matata.
I love that. Thank you for thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for joining us.
Alien of extraordinary abilities.
That's tea. That's tea. Thank you for joining us, Courtney. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for Race Chaser this week. We promise to continue to provide you with award-winning, groundbreaking content every single week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And you can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is, including our special guest, Courtney Act, and subscribe to make sure you know when they come out. Each episode is Wednesday and Friday. Heads up.
Yes. And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod on Instagram.
And send us anything you want us to get eyes and ears on. We look for nudity and current events and use the hashtag Race Chaser when you post. You can hit us up there. Bye.
Thank you so much. And happy birthday, Big Dipper. What day is today? It's Dipper's birthday. What a day for a birthday. Let's all have some cake.
Oh, I'd love some cake. Hi. Say goodnight, Courtney.
Say goodnight, Courtney.
Courtney, take your break.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaskan Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.